You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast that's designed to help you save your marriage no matter where you are. And today, I really want to focus on what you're doing in the process of saving your marriage. What I like to do is a lot of times give you some hooks, some ways of remembering how you need to do things. And the reason I do that is because in the midst of a crisis, when everything is kind of spinning around and you've got all of that information flying around in your head, you need some handles. You need some places to hang things, because what I'm asking you to do is to actually do things a bit differently than you've done them before. The reason is because if you keep doing those same things, you're going to end up getting the same outcomes. And so if you continue to have those same discussions and the same arguments and the same attempts to make changes, you're going to end up at the exact same place. So I always propose some different ways of doing it. You may be familiar with these handles. For instance, in first aid, I remember long ago as a Boy Scout, I learned the ABCs, right? And that's when you look at the airway, the breathing, and the circulation, right? Is their airway clear? Can they get breath in? And then are they breathing? And finally, do they have a pulse? That's the ABCs of when you have a first aid crisis. And the reason they put that as the ABCs, it's the first three things you want to check. And so that gives you some handles to move from. So I try to propose some first aid handles for you to use. And today I want to remind you of three, but really talk about their antithesis. So the three C's, as I talk about them, of how you go about your plan to save your marriage, those three C's are to be calm, constant, and consistent. And so if you haven't heard the podcast about that, I want to briefly describe those. And I'm also going to put a link to the podcast that really goes in depth with those so that you can get a clear understanding of that. But I don't want to just kind of leave you hanging. Today, I really want to focus on the antithesis, but you've got to understand the thesis before you understand the antithesis. So let's talk about these three C's. Very easy to remember: calm, constant, consistent. What does that mean? Okay, let's talk about calm. And one of the things I get here from a lot of people is they say, how can you be calm? All this stuff is going on. And the simple reason is because you choose to be. You recognize all of those thoughts running around in your head, and you recognize them for thoughts that are leading to anxiety. And once you recognize that all that's going on in your head is the thoughts, all that you're doing is creating those thoughts, you can begin to step away and examine them and recognize that those thoughts are not really entirely true. They might be in some ways true. So you might have the truth, that's the fact, that there is a marriage problem. And then from there, you become anxious about, oh gosh, this is going to destroy my life. It's going to destroy my finances. My kids aren't going to have an intact family. And on you go. Those automatic tapes that play in your head, leaving aside the fact that you've got a marriage crisis. That's the fact. From then on, it's the narrative that you've created. So as you think about that, as you think about that narrative you're creating, you can recognize that you can step away from that. You can also work on doing those belly breathing. I talk about those belly breathing many times, and there's one central reason why. It's a physiological response to anxiety in your body, and it works all the time. So what is belly breathing? Well, your body has a system. That anxiety is getting your body ready to deal with a crisis. And that system runs on hormones and thoughts and adrenaline, which is a hormone, and all of those other pieces, the cocktail of anxiety. So belly breathing is a way of saying to your body, hey, everything's okay. You need to deal with your mind so that you don't keep cooking up those thoughts about it, but you can calm your body down by doing belly breathing. The easiest way to figure out how to belly breathe is to lie down on something flat, a bed, the ground, somewhere that you're flat. And after you practice and learn this, you can do it anywhere. But when you're lying down, to put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly button, right over the middle of your chest. And as you breathe, the only hand that you want to move is that hand over your belly button, not on your chest. When you're breathing through your chest, which is what we tend to do many times in life, especially if we've all been told to hold in our stomach and stand up straight and all those other things. So when you're breathing through your chest, you're sending a message to your brain that not everything is safe, that something in the environment is at risk. And so that keeps the body kicking adrenaline around in the system. The brain is on high alert, the very primitive part of the brain, it's on high alert. When you belly breathe, you're letting your body know that it's okay to relax, that there's no threat. And so as you begin to work on those belly breaths, you can physiologically take back control of your body, which is on anxious high alert. So now you know how to kind of calm your mind and then calm your body. So we work on that calm place. The reason we want to be calm is because when we are trying to work on a marriage issue, we want to be responding, not reacting. Reaction is what we do out of fear, out of threat. It's what we do in angry moments. It's what we do in our lower moments of begging and pleading. But when we're calm and we're choosing to respond, we can choose what we're going to respond to and how we're going to respond. So we want to do it calmly. The second is that you want to be constant. And what I mean by constant is that you're not doing something now and then waiting 3-4 weeks to do it again. You're not waiting 5 or 6 weeks to do it again, or maybe once a month. That when you're constant, you're working on this really on a daily basis. Now, let me be clear here. I'm not talking about an hour by hour, a minute by minute basis, but a daily basis where you are focusing on the marriage. Why not on an hour by hour or minute by minute? Well, one is you'll burn out. Two is you'll burn your spouse out. And three is you'll become so one-dimensional that you won't be of interest to anyone. When you become so unidimensional, one-dimensional about your marriage crisis, that there's nothing else in the world, you find yourself stuck. So you want to be constant. That doesn't mean repetitively all the time. So constant may mean you do a couple of things today, you do a thing tomorrow, something a couple of days later. That's what I'm talking about being constant. You want to not let this just kind of pass for a long time. Now, that can break some habits. If you've been ignoring your relationship, or if you've been not really attentive in your relationship, you're trying to change that habit. That's why I say that. Then there is the final C, which is to be consistent. Consistency means that you're following an approach. And you want to follow a good approach. I tend to like mine. If you're interested in my system, that's at SaveTheMarriage.com. It's a system of approaching how you work on your relationship. It's not about manipulation. It's not about trying to trick the other person or reuse reverse psychology or cast a spell or hypnosis or any of the other garbage you can find on the internet. It's a program that's designed to help you understand what happened in your marriage and how to turn it around. So if you're going to be consistent, you want to use whatever approach it is you land on. If you want to use reverse psychology, at least be consistent with that reverse psychology. I'm not going to say it's a good idea. I'm just going to say be consistent. If you want to use my approach, be consistent. Whatever you're using, be consistent. Okay. So that gives you the three C's: calm, constant, consistent. What is the antithesis of that? Well, the antithesis is to be anxious, arbitrary, and ambiguous, the three A's that you want to avoid. Anxious, so you're coming at everything and you're always responding out of anger and out of your anxiety and out of your fears, which is never going to be a good response, never ever. Whenever we respond from our angry place, which is, by the way, a hurt place, and whenever we respond from a hurt place or a threatened place or a fearful place, it's just not going to be particularly helpful. It's going to put the other person on edge. They're going to say, wow, you know, this is exactly what I was trying to get away from. So anxiety tends to push the other person's buttons, and it tends to keep you reacting. So we don't want to respond from anxiety. We also don't want to be arbitrary. Arbitrary means I'll do something now, and then I won't do something for a couple of weeks, and oh, maybe next month. So arbitrary is just whenever it kind of occurs to you. People who respond arbitrarily to their marriage problem only find a frustrated spouse, because they go, oh, I thought you were doing something different. Oh, you're not really doing anything different. Oh, I thought we were on track. And nothing really is changing here. And back and forth it goes. So you don't want to have an arbitrary approach. You want to instead have that constant approach, which brings us to the final A of being ambiguous. Ambiguous means that you're not really clear about what you're doing for yourself. You're not really clear about what techniques you're using, and you're really not even clear with your spouse. So, you know, if your spouse says, so what, do you want to save your relationship? And you go, I don't know, I'm not really sure. Yes, you can say, yes, I want to save my relationship. I know that that's not how you feel, but that's where I am. You have to be consistent with your manner. So ambiguous would be, oh, this week I'm going to try reverse psychology. Next week I might try a little different manipulation. The following week I read this thing about casting a spell. The following week and you go back and forth and back and forth, leaving a spouse going, this is the craziness that I wanted to get away from. This is the stuff that I don't want in my life anymore, rather than going, wow, I'm seeing the changes. So notice, if you are anxious, arbitrary, and ambiguous, all you're doing is affirming what your spouse has been considering of the craziness of this and wants to get away from. However, if you go at things with a calm, constant, consistent approach, then your spouse sees that things are changing for the better. Now, let me be clear about the three C's and those three A's of how to do things and how not to do things. This is not your plan. This is how you implement your plan. You definitely want to have a plan to save your marriage. You want to have that written down. The way you use these three C's is that's how you carry out your plan. That's how you make sure that plan keeps you on track. That's how you make sure that plan keeps you moving forward. This is how you do it and how you don't do it, how you want to avoid. So you certainly don't want to fall into that anxious place, because that anxious place will keep you stuck and will not allow you to move forward effectively with your plan. Now, the other two, arbitrary and ambiguous, those are the reasons you want that plan, because the plan will keep you from being arbitrary, because you've got exactly what you're going to do, or ambiguous, because there's clarity to a plan. So how you want to carry out that plan is to be calm, constant, consistent. What you want to avoid by creating the plan, by having a clear way you're moving forward, is to not be anxious, not be arbitrary, and not be ambiguous. When you put all this together, you have a powerful way of showing your spouse that you've changed. Not only that, you have a powerful way of rebuilding your relationship. Now, if you need help with that plan, that's part of the process of going through the Save the Marriage program, and is also something we cover in the Save the Marriage virtual coaching program. In fact, in that place, I have a fill-in-the-blanks plan to get you going on saving your marriage. It covers the way you do it in each of the ways of connecting. But the way you want to make sure you carry out that plan is by being calm, constant, consistent, and avoiding being anxious, arbitrary, and ambiguous. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.